My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. I'm looking at sharp moves up in the price of oil. I'm David Brancaccio. Oil prices are surging again this morning, given news the U.S. and allies are considering a ban on Russian oil exports. Crude traded in New York briefly topped $130 a barrel last evening. It's $123 this morning. This is like it was during the peak in 2008 before the mortgage meltdown, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. and European countries are exploring a ban on Russian oil, something they have taken pains to avoid in the sanctions imposed so far. He spoke on NBC's Meet the Press.
We are now in very active discussions with our European partners about banning the import of Russian oil to our countries, while, of course, at the same time, maintaining a steady global supply of oil.
Russia is the world's third largest oil producer after the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. The prospect of removing its 5 million barrels in exports every day from the global market is already pushing up oil prices. Gasoline prices are rising, too. The U.S. average for a gallon of regular gas topped $4 a gallon over the weekend for the first time since 2008. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Indeed, retail gas prices are up 11% from a week ago, according to AAA. A separate calculation by the online site GasBuddy finds it's the biggest one-week increase since the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. It's averaging $5.29 in California now. Three of the biggest accounting firms, EY, PwC, and KPMG, have cut their Russian operations out of their global networks. You know, companies once upon a time branded Ernst & Young, Price Waterhouse, Pete Marwick. The BBC's Simon Jones has more.
KPMG, which employs 4,500 people in Russia and Belarus, said it had a responsibility to respond to Russia's violation of international law. As a result, it will sever ties with its businesses there. PwC, which has been operating in Russia for 30 years and has 3,700 members of staff in the country, said it was horrified by Moscow's senseless war, and the company's focus would now shift to supporting its employees in Ukraine. The accountancy firms are the latest businesses to pull out of Russia. Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Samsung have all suspended operations there in the last few days.
Meanwhile, the owner of the Japanese clothing company Uniqlo says it will keep its stores open in Russia. Here's the quote from Tadashi Yanai, the CEO of Uniqlo's parent company. "Clothing is a necessity of life. People of Russia have the same right to live as we do," unquote. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 1.6% range this morning. The S&P 500 is down 9.8% year so far.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
It's a year ago this week when NFTs, non-fungible tokens, hit the big time when a video artist named Beeple used one to sell rights to what he called an original for $69 million. Now, since then, a reported $44 billion has been spent on NFTs, but only a few get the big money. About half of all NFTs go for $400 or less. Art critic Blake Gopnik asked an economist to do that calculation, and his resulting piece is in the New York Times, which also argues there's really no such thing as NFT art. Blake joins us now. Hey.
Hi, David. Always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, Blake, a year ago, you and I were talking, and, you know, we'd say NFT, and it was like I was speaking particle physics. Now every cool kid wants an NFT, right?
Yeah, they think they want an NFT, but the weird thing is that people still don't actually know what NFTs are. It kind of shocks me that they have completely fictional notions of what an NFT is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I initially wondered if they were a license to print money. What have you found?
They're definitely a license to print money. I also think they're a license to be something close to fraudulent. There's all this talk about NFT art. But in fact, when you scratch the surface a little bit, it turns out there is no such thing as NFT art. There's just these things called NFTs, and they're certificates. They're certificates of ownership. And you can attach it to anything. You can attach it to a lousy sentimental illustration by the late Thomas Kincaid, or to a radical conceptual art piece by Hans Hacke. There is no limit to the kind of things you can attach an NFT to, so there is no such thing as NFT art.
But, right, if you're a digital artist, there's a problem of what's the real one, what's the first one, what are copies? And there was a thought that maybe this technique through NFTs could help digital artists make a little more money.
You know, it looked as though NFTs might help serious digital artists make more money, but what really has turned out to be the situation is that NFTs are not about the image that has been NFT'd. They're about the NFT itself. Imagine if you're collecting baseball cards, right? You get a 1916 Babe Ruth. You're not collecting it because of the picture of Babe Ruth. You're collecting it just because it's a collectible. So this is just about collecting for the sake of collecting.
By the way, Blake, you used a nice, simple metaphor in your Times piece to explain NFT. Now, I'd say it's a hard-to-fake digital certificate of authenticity, but you use just one syllable.
Yeah, I think NFTs are deeds, like the deeds you have to your house. But owning the deed to even the greatest house in the world does not mean that they have any access to the house. It doesn't even mean that they care about the Frank Lloyd Wright or the Eames house. That's what NFTs are all about. It's about collecting deeds to works of art. It's not about the works of art themselves.
Art critic Blake Gopnik also contributes to the New York Times. Always good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, David.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org slash book club.